Our subject
is from the text in the third chapter of 2 Peter. If you'll find in your Bibles, 2 Peter 3:9. The Lord is not slack. I remember that. The Lord is not slack. And we read also in the Bible concerning God, God who cannot lie. God is not slack, and God cannot lie. And concerning God's word, not one jot or tittle shall pass away until all be fulfilled. Heaven and earth may pass away, but not God's word. Now the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness. But the Lord is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Some of you heard me tell the story. The time I was at the bedside of an old man in Cuero, Texas, he was dying. His name was Uncle Billy, they called him. He was a notorious infidel. He scoffed every time there was an evangelistic campaign in town. He did everything he could to keep people away. And they dared him to go. And he went, stood outside the tabernacle and heard the singing. He was about 78 years of age. Almost he was 80, about 80 when he died. He heard the singing, and the next night he went in a little further to the front. About the fourth night, he was down in front. And when the evangelist gave the invitation, he received the Lord as his Savior. I'll never, never forget the face of that man when he was dying. And he repeated, the tears down his face, but his eyes shining, glistening. Oh, the grace of God. Oh, the grace of God. He said, think that God would let me live to be 78 years old as a blaspheming infidel and then save me. Oh, how he was gloriously saved and what a testimony he had. He passed out into eternity to be with the Lord. 78 years of his life worse than worthless, and only 2 years that he was a Christian. Now the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness. He is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Now you and I must know the difference between the word perish as used by unsaved people and in the Bible. Some time ago there was a fire, and it says 20 people perished in that fire. Now they did not perish in the sense that they mean it when their bodies were consumed by fire. That isn't the word perish at all in the Bible. Why, you ought to see that at a glance. God is not willing that any should perish. We're told that 20 billion people have lived since Adam left the Garden of Eden, and 18 billion of them have died. And I think Job summed it up in Job 14:1, where he said, man that is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. Now some days with men, live to be 20, some 30, some 50. I told you about Dr. Goss. Mr. Ruler was teaching with him way back 20 years ago. And last week before last in St. Louis, Dr. Goss, who was a member of the church where I was a member in 1906 in St. Louis, he was in St. Louis week before last, and he asked Mr. Ruler to come to his birthday party. And he celebrated his 100th birthday. And he was hale and hearty. We read of this wonderful, gifted young actor, and the people warned him and told him to quit his foolishness with the racing with his motorcycle and car and so forth. 22 years of age, and they said he had a wonderful future before him in Hollywood. He was killed in less than 5 minutes' time last Thursday night. He's gone at 22. The other man lived to be 100. They take all ages. I don't know whether you find any interest. I find a great deal of interest going out to the cemetery. You learn many lessons there. You know, when the influenza epidemic was here, way back in 1918, I was in Marlin Springs, Texas, and my singer, we went out every day to the cemetery. And we saw from 25 to 35 every day coming out. You remember that hundreds of thousands of people, yes, several million people died with the influenza. They were gone just like that. Over in Michigan City, Indiana, when I was there, they told me there were 31,000 people in the city and 32,000 people in the cemetery. 1,000 more in the cemetery dead than those alive. Well, after Job said, man wasteth the way, after he said, man that is born a woman is a few days and full of trouble, he said in the 10th verse of that 14th chapter, man wasteth away. Yea, man giveth up the ghost. And where is he? Where is he? Now let's turn to the last book of the Bible, and you'll find out what God means when he says that he so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. Now that neither means physical death nor annihilation. Here is what it means in the 20th chapter of Revelation, the 14th verse. Death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Last Sunday I heard the Jehovah's Witness messengers over the radio. And they said, this is a wonderful thing. This lake of fire is going to purify everybody and make them ready to be saints on earth, a kingdom saint. Have you ever heard of resting the scripture to their own damnation? It says here, death and Hades shall be cast into the lake of fire. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Now if you'll turn back to the 33rd chapter of Ezekiel, this was God's message to his own nation back there in the 33rd chapter, the 11th verse. Say unto my people, as I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked. Now, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. That's physical death. But God's saints will not suffer the death that's referred to here. You know, you make a great mistake when you go to Webster's dictionary to get the definition of death. Death is far more serious than the absence of physical life. Now he says here, saith the Lord, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Now, if the wicked would turn from his way and become a saint, he may die 2 days after he's saved. He may live to be live 10 or 12 years or 20 years. This hasn't anything to do with physical life. The Bible says that she that liveth in pleasure is dead while she liveth. Sinners are dead while they live. They're mentally alert, physically alive, but they're dead. Unsaved people are said to be dead in trespasses and sins. And when they're saved, they're said to pass out of death into life. In Romans 6:13, it says to Christians, yield yourselves unto God as those who are alive from the dead. Now remember, we've said it about 150 times. I expect to say it 1,500 times before I die. I don't know of anything that will cause people to think more than this statement. All the adults of this world, more than 2 billion, are divided into two groups with respect to salvation. Every person in this room is either a dead sinner or a living saint. There's no third group. I sincerely trust that you're all living saints. If you're not a living saint, you're a dead sinner. And as we said this morning, there are millions of church members who are religious and moral and philanthropic and benevolent who are twice dead, plucked up by the roots, according to the book of Jude. When any person turns to religious doings instead of to Jesus Christ and his death and resurrection, that person is twice dead, plucked up by the roots. And they are very difficult to reach for the Lord. Remember what the Lord said to the self-righteous ones in his day? I say unto you that the publicans and the harlots will get into the kingdom of God before you. For that which is highly esteemed among men is an abomination in the sight of the Lord. Not he that commendeth himself unto the Lord is accepted, but whom approved, but whom the Lord commendeth. And if we compare ourselves with others, we're not wise. If we say, I'm not so bad as the other fellow. Never compare yourself with your fellow man. Compare yourself with the Lord Jesus Christ and the Ten Commandments. And when you do that, you'll cry with Peter, depart from me, for I'm a sinful man. Or you'll say with the Apostle Paul, I'm the chief of sinners. Or you'll say with the Apostle Paul, oh, wretched man that I am. You know what Isaiah did when he got a glimpse of the glory of God? He said, woe is me, for I'm undone. I live in the midst of a wicked people. From the crown of the head to the sole of the feet, we're filled with putrefying sores. The ass knows his owner, and the ox knows his owner, and the ass his master's creed, but my people do not know. They have not considered. Their sins were as scarlet, they were red like crimson, and yet they thought they were all right. The most religious people that ever lived, who thought they were doing their full duty, had Jesus Christ nailed to the cross. The Apostle Paul said, when I persecuted Christians and I tried to kill them, I thought verily I was doing the right thing. You see how a person can be sincere and be sincerely wrong. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the ends thereof are the ways of death. Now he said, as I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked. But that the wicked turn from his way and live, turn ye from your way. Why will you die, O house of Israel? Now you see what he's meaning. Why will you perish? Why will you suffer with those to whom God says it's appointed unto men once to die, and after this the judgment? When Jesus Christ went to the cross of Calvary, he said, now is the judgment of this world. And when he died on the cross, he was judged for your sins and my sins. And if you come while you're in your body here and receive the judgment at Calvary, you'll never go to the white throne. You'll never go to the lake of fire. I've said this many times. A person who's not thoroughly deceived by Satan knows that the Bible plainly teaches that for every individual, it is either the cross of Calvary or the lake of fire. That's what it means when it says God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Now notice what the Lord Jesus Christ said in Matthew 10:28. Listen what he says here. Fear not them which kill the body. He was telling his apostles who went out, he said, I'm sending you forth as sheep among wolves. And he said, many of you will be killed. But he said, fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul. What does it mean to have your soul killed? Listen. Fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. To destroy both body and soul in hell. What was it that went to the lake of fire? Death and Hades. Now, our great trouble is this. I said to you, if you have to sell your kitchen cabinet to do it, get a Strong's concordance. You don't have to be a Greek student. Every single word in the Bible, without a single exception, every preposition and every word in the Bible, you'll find in the Strong's Concordance, and you'll find the Greek word and the literal definition. Now about 8 times the word life is translated life, and the Greek word is soul. The Greek word is soul. Jesus Christ said, the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. That isn't what he said. He said to give his soul. I'm so happy to know that so many people have been blessed by learning the truth of Isaiah 53:9-10. That God says that he's in Christ, he's going to make his soul an offering for sin. His soul an offering for sin. Now notice what Christ said. He said, destroy this temple, my physical body, and in 3 days I will raise it up. What, my body? Where did his body go? It went to Joseph's tomb. Then what did he say in John 10:17-18? He didn't say, I have power to lay down my life. It's suki, soul. I have power to lay down my soul. And he laid down his soul, and his soul went to Hades, and his body went to Joseph's tomb. The soul that sinneth it shall die. And not only did Jesus Christ bear our sins in his own body, but he shall see of the travail of his soul and be satisfied, because God made his soul an offering for sin. And so it says he made his grave with the rich, with the wicked and with the rich in his death. D-E-A-T-H-S. Go get your Hebrew Bible and see that it's in the plural. Then you'll know why Jesus Christ said to John on the Isle of Patmos, he says, I am he that liveth. I was dead, but behold, I am alive forevermore. I have 2 keys. I have the key of death. Where did he get that? Coming out of Joseph's tomb. I have the key of hell. Where did he get that? Coming out of hell. God would not suffer his Holy One to see corruption, neither would he lose his soul in hell. You know what Peter said on the day of Pentecost? He said there concerning David. He said, when the Lord said he will not suffer his Holy One to see corruption, neither would he leave his soul in hell. He said, David wasn't talking about himself. Why? Because he says he died and he was buried and his sepulcher is with us unto this day. And in Acts 13:34, it says that David saw corruption, but Jesus Christ did not see corruption. God would not suffer his Holy One to see corruption, neither would he leave his soul in hell. Beloved, if the wages of sin is death and hell, how could we be saved from hell if Jesus Christ didn't go to hell? If he, by the grace of God, tasted death for every man, he had to taste death for our soul, for the soul that sinneth, it shall die. So the Lord Jesus Christ, by the grace of God, did taste death for every man. And he said, I have power to lay down my soul. I have power to take it up again. You remember what we read in the Hebrews 2:14? Said he became a partaker of flesh and blood that he might through death destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. And deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. And it says he spoiled principalities and powers. He made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it, in his resurrection and ascension. And thereby we're told that he abolished death and he's brought life with a guarantee of incorruptibility to light through the gospel. Now when you come to the Lord Jesus Christ, he has the keys of death and Hades. And when you receive him, he says, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth on me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. When you come by faith to Calvary, the only way you can be saved, as the Apostle Paul says in the second chapter of Galatians, those closing verses, if righteousness come by doing, Christ died for naught. You must be righteous. If you're not declared righteous by God before you leave this body, you'll never get in there. If you went to heaven unrighteous, you would make a hell out of heaven. No unrighteous man can get into the kingdom of God. An unsaved person would never enjoy it. Perhaps you heard that story. It's an old story. Down in Buffalo, the two boats were going out, excursion boats, on the 4th of July. One was a Sunday school picnic, and the other was going out, saloon keepers, and were going to have a prize fight, and they were going out to have a great time getting drunk and so forth. Well, the boats were just about leaving, and when the boy rushed down and he said, I want to get on the boat, I'm going to that Sunday school. Well, they're pulling out. The little boy ran over and he jumped on the boat and he got on the wrong boat. He got on the one where the saloon keepers were and for the prize fight, and the big fat gambler came down all out of breath and he got on the Sunday school boat and they were both in hell all day long. Why, my dear friend, how could anybody who's unsaved, who takes the name of God in vain, how could they ever enjoy the Lord Jesus Christ? What do you think we're going to do forever and ever and ever? We're going to make love to the Son of God who loved us and gave himself for us. A man that takes God's name in vain, that's unsaved, how could he ever have any joy in heaven? He isn't going to get there. Uncle Billy's going there. The wonderful grace of God spared his life all those years and finally received the Lord Jesus Christ, and he was saved, gloriously saved. And if you haven't been saved up to the present time, thank God, you can be saved right now if you'll let the Lord save you. Where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. So many times they have that word life. Now what does the Lord mean? Hear not him who's able to kill your body but can't touch your soul. Hear him who's able to kill both body and soul in hell. That's death and Hades being cast into the lake of fire. And what's the only thing that'll save you from that? Now be quiet. Oh, Franklin, get over there. Sit down by him. The devil doesn't like a message like this. He'll do anything he can to disturb. Now just remember this. God's word. Hear not him who's able to kill the body. We're told, listen, you know that in 1,500 years, 21 million Christians died. Some of them, this Bible that we have today, this Bible came to us through the suffering of many of God's servants. More than 20 men have been burned at the stake for translating the Bible. More than 20 million have died as martyrs. And as the Apostle Paul said, the time of my departure is at hand. What he said, to be absent from the body is to be at home with the Lord. If you pass out of death into life, you've been raised up and you've been made to sit down in the heavenlies in Christ. And think of the foolish people that say that Sheol and Hades always means the grave. What does God mean when he says, the wicked shall be turned into hell in the nations that forget God, and no drunkard shall ever enter the kingdom of God? But what he wrote to the Corinthians, he said, some of you were thieves, and some of you were drunkards, and some of you were murderers, and some of you were adulterers, and some of you were fornicators, some of you were idolaters, but now you're washed, and you're sanctified, you're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus, by the power of the Holy Spirit. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, though they be red like crimson, they shall be as white as wool, they shall be as white as snow. And when you come by faith to the Son of God who loved you and gave himself for you, God forgives you for every sin you've ever committed in word, thought, or deed, and you stand in the holy presence of God as though you'd never made one mistake in your life. Oh, it's wonderful to know the grace of God and know what it means when it says, he hath not dealt with us according to our sin, nor rewarded us according to our iniquity. I want to read in, I just had a blessed time. It's not really good news altogether, but I was reading yesterday in Ecclesiastes. If you have your Bible as we close, would you turn there? I'd like to read some of the things that we have in the book of Ecclesiastes. And then you'll see how foolish. I wrote a man yesterday. He wrote to me and he said, I didn't like what you said last Sunday night. That anybody that teaches the soul sleep is teaching a heathen doctrine. It's not a Christian doctrine. But that's true, my dear friend. And he quoted, like all of them quote, the Seventh-day Adventists and the Russellites and the Jehovah's Witnesses and the Universal Reconciliation. They all quote from the book of Ecclesiastes, and that is the ninth chapter of Ecclesiastes. If you have it there, will you turn? I'd like to read to you from the ninth chapter, verses 10 to 12. That comes right after Proverbs, doesn't it? Yeah, 9 to 12. Now listen. Live joyfully with the wife whom thou lovest all the days of the life of thy vanity, which she hath given thee under the sun, all the days of the vanity, for that is thy portion in this life, and in thy labor which thou takest under the sun. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do. My friend, your soul has no hand. This is your body. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest. There are at least 5 million church members in America that take this verse of scripture to teach that we'll be unconscious between death and resurrection. Then they'd have to take the rest of this. Notice what it said. In the ninth chapter, the fourth verse. For to him that is joined to all the living, there is hope. For a living dog is better than a dead lion. For the living know not that they shall die. For the living know that they shall die, but the dead know not anything, neither have they any more reward, for the memory of them is forgotten. Now we turn to the eighth chapter, the eighth verse. There is no man that hath power over the spirit to retain the spirit, neither hath he power in the day of death. And there is no discharge in that war, neither shall wickedness deliver those that are given to it. Lo, this only have I found, that God hath made man upright, but they have sought out many inventions. Wisdom strengtheneth the wise more than 10 mighty men which are in the city. For there is not a just man upon earth that doeth good and sinneth not. All things have I seen in the days of my vanity. There is a just man that perisheth in his righteousness, and there is a wicked man that prolongeth his life in his wickedness. So you see that perish has nothing to do with physical death. He that loveth silver shall not be satisfied with silver, nor he that loveth abundance with increase. This also is vanity. When goods increase, they are increased that eat them. And what good is there to the owners thereof, saving the beholding of them with their eyes? The sleep of a laboring man is sweet, whether he eat little or much, but the abundance of the rich will not suffer him to sleep. Those riches perish by evil travail, and he begetteth a son, and there is nothing in his hand. As he came forth of his mother's womb naked, shall he return to go as he came, and shall take nothing of his labor, which he hath carried away in his hand. Wherefore I praise the dead which are already dead, more than the living which are yet alive. Yea, better is he than both they which hath not been. And isn't that true, my dear friend? I want to say to you, of 4 million people in Cook County, it would have been far better for them if 3,200,000 of them had never been born. Far better. He praises those that are dead, he praises those that are living, but he praises more those that have never been. Conceived in sin and shapen in iniquity. And go on in their sins, rejecting the way of redemption and the way of eternal life. You remember what the Lord said in John 5:40? Ye will not come unto me that you might have life. God is long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but that all might come to repentance. God will have all men to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. There is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all. Now, God would like to have you to be saved tonight. And the work has been finished. It's a perfect work of redemption. And the Lord says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. The free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord.